storm of death, or sweeping man, whisper, O truth of truth, be still.
Whoever old Anatolius was, Anatolius, he believed that Jesus Christ is God of God. Hope for that man, isn't it? Light of light, truth of truth. All right, Mark chapter 6 now. Mark chapter 6. Do you remember the story just a week or two ago about the disciples at sea when the Lord was asleep in the hinder part of the ship? You remember that? Chapter 4. The hinder part of the ship. You remember why he was in the hinder part of the ship? That's where the captain always is, the hinder part. Anyway, this is another similar story. And that is by design. This happened very shortly after that other seafaring story. These always, I love these stories. I love to read seafaring books. But this has happened on purpose, according to our Lord's wisdom and purpose. And so we're going to look at it, though similar. And I think you'll know why in a moment, why we have it again. Now, right after feeding the multitude, right after feeding 5,000 people, it says in verse 45, straightway, or right away, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Straightway, that is immediately, he told the disciples, now get back in the ship. There's several things to be seen from this. Again, everything is by design. Every word is God's marvelous wisdom. Straightway, immediately, he said, get back in the ship. Now, once again, the disciples had been thronged. They got in the middle of 5,000 people, 5,000 men. That means there were probably over 10,000 men, women, children. They were in the midst of this huge crowd, huge throng, and so the Lord constrained them to get back in the ship. Just the 12 of them. Get back in the ship. You remember that, in that story? How the Lord told them, get in the ship. Because this is where we get our rest and repose. This fellowship of the saints. Right here. This little ship. This little ark right here on top of the hill. This is where the gospel is, where Christ meets. This is one of the only times that we have true fellowship together around the gospel. This is a time of rest and repose, a little oasis in the wilderness. That's why our Lord said that, right? They were in a big crowd again. He said, get back in the ship. And so they had a little time together. Now, they should have been thinking about what just happened. You know, it was amazing what our Lord did, wasn't it? Feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wasn't that amazing? Surely they wouldn't forget that. Surely not. Why, they hadn't been in that boat a day. We read it. They forgot it. It says their hearts were hardened. Well, surely we wouldn't forget last Sunday's message, would we? Huh? Surely we wouldn't forget that. We do. We sure do. But really, the disciples, and so should we ought to try to reconsider what we've seen and heard previously. Keep rehearsing it in our minds, chewing on it. Well, our Lord constrained them to get in the ship. immediately. Immediately. Now, here's another thing. We looked at Sunday morning at how the Lord fed, how we're fed with the word, sit down. He made them to sit down. Well, right after they had this, they were feeding, the Lord had them get back in the ship, and they weren't any time at all back out to sea. Now, this is a picture also, that after we feed on the word, it's just right after that we have to go back out in that sea and get back out there, the sea of life, if you will. And at sea, out there at sea, these disciples are going to be tossed to and fro. They're going to be just stormy. It's going to be stormy and tempestuous. So it is for us. Right after we feed on the Word, a time of to strengthen and renew ourselves, get back out there again. And storms of life again. And so the Lord has them do that for our learning. And I'll tell you why this happened so closely after the last sea time they were together on the sea and the miracle. Remember, the Lord stilled the ocean. This happened very shortly after that. And we just looked at that, and here it is again. Our Lord has them go through a similar experience to reconfirm. To reconfirm to them that yes, He is the sovereign of the sea. He's the master of all things. He has the mastery and the care for them. Because they quickly forgot that. And so do we. So here we are considering much the same story again. We quickly forget, don't we? I bet you, if you were like me, you heard that message on the Lord stilling the ocean, and it was stilled your heart while you heard it, didn't it? It did mine. It helped me. I know there's some of you I spoke with and seemed to enjoy it. Well, it didn't stay with you, did it? Need it again. So here it is again. All right, our Lord is going to still the raging ocean again. All right? Verse 45. Well, He straightway or immediately constrained His disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. Verses 46 and 7. When He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He was alone on the land. So He told His disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side, though He Himself was not in the ship. Or was it? Well, listen now. Everything concerning the disciples of Christ, them and us, concerns our Lord. They are His children. They are His sheep. He's the shepherd. A good shepherd never leaves the sheep. Never. And though it appears He is not with them or with us though it appears He's not in something where we are or what we're going through, yet all things concerning us, all things are working together according to His purpose and for our good. All things. All things. Our all-wise Heavenly Father is always leading His children. Always leading. Always teaching. His eye, He said, His eye is always on His children. Always. He's always thinking of us like you, His parents. You don't go very long without your children on your mind, do you? And everything that happens to us, our Lord sends our way to teach us. And notice, He sent them away. Well, He stayed on the land. He sent them out to the sea to be tossed and to get in all kinds of trouble. That's a picture of our Lord. This is the way our Lord deals with his children. He doesn't shelter them from troubles and trials and doesn't take them out of the world problems and put them in a commune off together where there's nothing that will harm them. No, sir. No, sir. He puts them right out there in the midst of the stormy sea. That's how you learn. That's the only way you can learn, really. You know what? It's the only way. Well, it says he departed, verse 46. Now, this is important. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He, our Lord, departed into a mountain to pray. Now, if our Lord did this, got off to himself to pray, how much more? How much more? Our Lord had perfect knowledge, perfect faith. Yet, if he felt the need to pray, to get off alone and pray, how much more should we, weak, helpless sinners? Huh? How much more? And he got alone to pray. One of the men was speaking to me about prayer. And our Lord leaves us an example here. He departed into a mountain to pray. He found a solitary place and called upon his God, and so should we, a solitary place. Now, let me give you a little lesson here about what our Lord is showing us here. He departed into a mountain to pray. The best way to get to know someone is to get alone with them. You know that? I urge everyone to have the brethren in your home, but not too many at one time. You can't really have close fellowship. It's fine if you do that. I'm thankful for whatever, whenever, however you have God's people in your home. But the old company twos, the old saying, two's company, three's a crowd, and so forth. But if you just have a few people or go somewhere with somebody, get to know them. You sit and talk to them, get to know them. Well, how much more should we get alone with our God? Get alone with Him. The best way to get to know your children. Best way to get to know your children is to be alone with them. I mean individually, not collectively, but individually. Brother Marvin Stoniker, every one of the children, when they had a birthday, he would take each one of them, he personally, not Marvin and Linda, but Marvin, would take each one of them out to dinner. Just they'd get dressed up, and he and her, he and Hannah, or Becca or Sarah or Gabe. Anyway, just the two of them go out to eat a long, lengthy, casual dinner and talk to one another. That's the best way to get to know somebody, isn't it? Huh? You have nobody else around. You're not so self-conscious. You pour out your heart. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this. Philippians 4, verse 6. And this is the same with our Heavenly Father. How we need communion with Him alone. Pour out our hearts. And Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be full of care for anything. But how can you get rid of that care? How can you not be full of care? Cast it on somebody else. Daddy, tell Dad, let him handle. You know what I mean by let him. We don't let God or let Christ, but get rid of it. Unburden yourself. That's what prayer is, unburdening yourself to your Father. Verse 6, in everything, was there anything that you could you tell your dad anything, Hannah? Anything? I mean, the most minute thing to the most soul-revealing secret, could you?
Our God already knows
before you tell Him. But it does you good to tell Him. You know? Unburden you. Expose you. Verse 6. With everything by prayer and supplication. What does that mean?
Requests. Requests.
Can you ask your dad for anything, Helen? You don't mind if I use you tonight, do you? Could you ask your dad for anything? I know another hand that could. Dad, I want anything. And if I think it's good for, and if I can afford it, sometimes even if I can't, Stephen, I go ahead and try it anyway. Don't you? How much more our Heavenly Father? Supplication. With, now, don't forget this. With thanksgiving. Thanks. Don't you dare forget to be thankful. Above all things. With all, Paul said, thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And look at this. Look at the next verse. Nancy, you like this verse, don't you? And the peace of God, which passes understanding, that is natural understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, your mediator. So, get alone with your Lord. Our Lord did. Our Lord did. How much more should we? We're needy. Poor and needy. All right, back to the text. So he went into the mountain to pray. And it says in verse 47, Mark 6, verse 47, when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Though not actually in the ship this time, yet he's with them. He's with them. He's always with them. He said, I'll never leave, didn't he? When he left this planet. He said that. That's the last thing he said. I'm with you even to the ends of the world. What about us? You're a disciple, aren't you? Alright, read on. Verse 48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. So they began to row in sailing. In a sailing vessel. They didn't have motorized boats back then. So they went under the wind power. Sailing vessels back then. Alright? In a sailing vessel, if the wind is not blowing right, you have to strike the sail. That is, take all the sails down and get out the row of the oars and start rowing. Now, if you've ever done any rowing, you ever done any rowing? A boat? I don't mean going down the lazy river, you know, downstream in a little canoe and just paddle like some people I know that don't. I'll not tell it, Sammy. It's to make other people do all the paddling. Anyway. If you've ever done any real rowing, I mean against the stream, it's tough. I don't know of anything more strenuous. Honestly, I don't know of anything more difficult and more strenuous. Well, these fellows, now they're out in the ocean. Boisterous waves, crashing in water and everything, and they're trying to row in a boat to get to the shore. They're having a hard time. Can you imagine? There's 12 of them. They're all rowing. Now, our Lord said this about this life. You must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord never promised one disciple smooth sailing. Ever. if you're one of the, every one of these disciples had it tough, didn't they? Every one of them were in that ship, and they were rowing hard, and it was tough. I'll tell you how tough it was in a minute. But our Lord has His children. This does away with all this separatism of these religious cults. Our Lord has His children live in this world and toil and labor and go through difficult and trying times to teach us. He teaches us many things. One thing He teaches us, if you have a hard time in this world, what He teaches us is there's no rest in this world. Right? You have here no continuing city. They didn't want to stay on that boat, did they? They were looking forward to getting to the other side. Weren't they? If it had been a nice, lazy day and the wind just going along there, chewing on, you know, oranges, and Peter was strumming the guitar, you know, oh, this is wonderful. Let's not be such a hurry to get to the other side. Huh? But no, it was tough. Every one of them, I sure be glad when I get to shore. You must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. And God has His people go through so much trial and suffering in this world until you reach a point you say, I can't wait to get to the other side. I can't wait. And there's just enough happiness and good times here to keep you from killing yourself. Okay? But He teaches us also our utter dependence upon Him. They were rowing and rowing, rowing. People, it says the wind was contrary to them. The wind was contrary to them. The wind wasn't for them, it was against them. Brother Henry, it was all going against them. It wasn't with them. It wasn't helping them. It was against them. Yeah, you know what that's talking about? Sure you did. You've been here a long time now. Rarely is the wind at your back, is it? The wind was contrary to them. And the winds of God's providence in this life seem to be contrary to us. Winds of change. This world. Winds of worldly opinion, winds of change and so forth. Well, our God changes not. The truth changes not. But this world and everything else is against us. And it's getting more and more against the truth and against those that walk according to the truth. Read that in Isaiah 59. Remember where it says truth is way backward. Judgment is way backward. Truth, equity. Truth falleth in the streets. Equity cannot enter. And those that depart from evil, those that don't go with the flow, got a tough time of it. Don't they? Why, the whole world's against them. Now, boy, it's really bad if everybody's against you. No, but there's one for you. Huh? What's Romans 8:31? What's that say? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Huh? But then let me tell you something here. This is seemingly the winds were contrary to them. But not a child of God. No, really now. All things work together. Right? Even contrary winds work together. This was going to bring about Christ's glory. They're going to see His glory. And they're going to be further broken and dependent. And their faith is going to be strengthened. And that's exactly what trials are all about. Strengthen our faith. And so those things don't seem to go our way. Things not going my way. But I'll tell you whose way it is going now. everything's going God's way. Everything, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. So they appear to be contrary winds, but they're working out His purpose. They're contrary to the way they wanted it, but it's working out. God sent the wind. All right, verse 48. He saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, now this is 3 o'clock in the morning. Now they left right after dinner, about 6 or 7 o'clock. Now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Count that up now, folks. 9 hours of rowing. You know how far they got? 3 miles. Over in John, this story is recorded 3 times. In the book of John, it says they were about 25 furlongs, which is about 3 miles. They weren't making much progress. Were they? You get the picture? Rowing hard and not getting anywhere. How about you? Feel like you're just treading water? I guarantee you, progress is being made toward the other shore. 9 hours at sea, they only come 3 miles. Long, hard labor, hadn't made much progress. And now it says it's nighttime. See if you can't enter into this. Nighttime. Everything is worse at night. Isn't it? Everything is worse at night. I know you were like me. You wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking about whatever, bills to pay or your children or whatever it is, huh? It's worse at night, isn't it? Because all you got to do is lay there and think about it. That's what the Scripture said. David said that in Psalm 130. He said, "My soul waiteth for thee more than they that watch for the morning." They that watch for the morning, I'll be glad when the sun comes up. And our Lord said this too. He said, "Yea, weeping endureth for a night. Oh, but joy comes in the morning." And the morning always comes, doesn't it always come? Doesn't the morning always come? Doesn't that sun come up? Doesn't that sun arise with healing in its wings? Every time, huh? Has it ever failed to come up? You've been at nighttime and things have been just real bad and you thought it's helpless, it's hopeless. Doesn't that sun come up and you have a renewed hope? Every time. Well, these fellas are out there at nighttime, been rowing for 9 hours. Gone 3 miles. It's pitch black. They wanted to sleep, couldn't sleep. Let's just drown. Then he comes. Now it won't be long before we'll go to him, but he always comes to us first. You know him? Right in the midst of our rowing. Yes, he does. They that look for him, he comes. Verse 48. He saw them toiling in rowing. He saw them. How could he see them? He's up on a mountain. They're out in the midst of the sea, 3 miles out to sea, and he's on. Because he's the God that seeth us. That's how. Our God seeth us. He's the omniscient, omnipresent one, ever-present, all-seeing, all-knowing God. He seeth us. He saw them toiling. The wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch he came unto them. He cometh unto them. Walking upon the sea. Walking upon the sea. Now again, let me warn you about something. This religious world, this blasphemous world, blasphemes God on every hand. And you'll hear people all the time joking about walking on water. Don't you do it, people. Don't you dare. you know, I told you not to use the term scapegoat. Don't use anything from God's Word, any truth, anything from God's Word in jest or familiarly or carelessly or irreverently. Don't do it. We fear God and we tremble at His Word. We don't use it as a clever little cliche or something. No, sir. We tremble at it. We glory in it. This is a marvelous story. It's true what our Lord did here, and He did it for us. He came walking on the water. Now, He actually did. He actually walked on the water because He's the master of the sea. Billows His will, obey. Because everything truly is at His feet. Is it not? Everything is at His feet. Our Lord, now listen. Our Lord as a man. Now He's a man. This is what's marvelous about this. Our Lord, as a man, went through the same troubles, trials that His disciples went through. He went through the same troubling sea, yet He walked perfectly by faith. Now, we've looked at this before. Our Lord was a man, flesh and blood, and He walked by faith perfectly. Now, this is not to tell us that if you try hard enough, you can walk on the water. No, sir. But, now, if there was a reason for it, if there's a reason, if we had God's leadership, the disciples did things. Remember when our Lord said, when I lead greater things, you'll do greater things than what I do. You remember that? The apostles, they did some marvelous things. If there was a reason, a need for it, raising the dead and so forth. But there's no reason. You know, we don't need to walk on the water. We don't need to walk on the water. But listen to this. Do you remember when Peter, and this was in John's account, do you remember when Peter said, Lord, bid me come to you on the water? Remember, the Lord was walking on the water and looked like He was going to pass by. And Peter said, and I believe Peter, what it was like, remember when Peter saw the Lord on the shore at the end? And nothing and nobody's going to keep him from getting to the Lord. Remember? He dove in the water and swam. Long way away. He had to get to Him. And I believe Peter wasn't saying, I'd like to try that. He wasn't doing that. They were so scared out of their mind. They were scared. And Peter recognizes the Lord. He tells them in a minute, I want to come to you. I want to have this ship. That's what happened. That's what happened. Bid me come to you. Come on, Peter. You want to come to me that bad? What did Peter do? Nothing's going to keep him. He started walking. Well, he didn't last long with it because he didn't have perfect faith. He didn't have perfect faith. Everything, oh no, what am I doing? I'm not supposed to be. And he started down. Well, these things overcome us, but nothing in this world overcame our Lord, did it? Nothing. Nothing. There was a purpose. His children were out there in the sea toiling. They need to see His power and His glory, and there's only one way to get to them. He's flesh and blood.
walks across that ocean to get to them. And for them to see His glory and His power, and to teach us too that our Lord has overcome all. And be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. What will take you down did not take me down. I'm above it, and I did it for you. I did it for you. Established a perfect righteousness for you. Oh, your sins be over your head.
They're under my feet.
Did you hear that, John? Huh? David said in Psalm 38, my sins have gone over me. I'm drowning in my sin. Christ said, they're under my feet. He did that for you. He overcame them. Be of good cheer. We'll not be overcome by it either. The head's above water. All right. Look at verse 48. This is good. It says, He looked as though He would pass by them. See that? He would have passed by them, or He made as though He would have passed by them. He was walking, and they're in the ship, you know, rowing, and they see Him, and He walked as if He's just going to go right on by. And our Lord did this several times on the road to Emmaus, remember? On the road to Emmaus, He was talking to them, and they came to Emmaus, and it looked like He was going to go right on by. What did disciples do? Oh, no, don't go. Don't, come in. Well, our Lord, they saw Him. Verse 49. When they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. But they saw Him and were troubled. They saw Him, but they couldn't believe their eyes. That's what that's saying. They saw Him. They saw Him. They knew it was Him. But they thought, I can't believe this. So they just refused to believe it. And they were afraid. They saw the unknown and couldn't fathom it and were scared to death. But it's Him. Now you listen here now. You get some comfort here. We run into the unknown like sin. And we can't fathom it. We don't know what it's all about. It's the Lord. The Lord's there. Our Lord, it says, He would have passed by them. Our Lord will have us call upon Him in the day of trouble. Every time. Our Lord knew He was going to stop at that ship. That's why He went out there. That's why He walked out there. He was going to get in that boat. He was going to take them to shore. But He acted like He was going. But they're going to have to call on Him. You see that? Do you know the story over there in Ezekiel 36? How long have I been? Am I blowing it again? Do you know the story over there in Ezekiel 36 where it says, the Lord keeps saying, I will give them a new heart. I will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. I will create a new spirit in them. I will save them. I will do this. I will do that. But next, near the end of the chapter, He says, but they're going to ask me to do it. But He known unto God all His works from the beginning. He says, I will. I'm going to save old Henry Soar, old Glenford Soar. I'm going to save him. I'm going to do this for him. But He's going to ask me to do it. That's just in His purpose. Nobody's saved that doesn't call on the Lord. And these disciples are going to cry out. Look at verse 49. It says they cried out. What did they cry? What do you think they said? You know what they said. God help us. Not in, you know, cursing. They were crying unto God. Lord, save us and we perish. Lord, if it's you. They cried out, every one of them, crying unto God. They were about to perish again. And they cried unto their gods with the Lord help us. And Let me tell you this, though. It was Him. The things that frighten us, whatever it be, are but the means and the hands and the feet of our Lord. Yes, they are. They're the means. They're the instruments of our God. And it says in verse 50, how did He calm them? How did He calm them? Immediately. When they cried, immediately talked with them. He spoke to them. The Word is what soothed them, isn't it? What did He say? What calmed them? What was it? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. It is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And that's the only thing that will calm us. Through God, through His Word, He tells us, I am that I am. Be of good cheer. In everything. Oh, you see what happened in New York, September 11th, blah, blah, blah. It is I. You're not afraid. Oh, but it is I. It's the Lord. Whatever it is. Winds are contrary. Oh, everything's against us. Be of good cheer. The world may sorrow as those who have no hope, but don't you be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I did this. I did that. I kill. I make alive. I wound. I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. It is I. Be not afraid. That's the only thing that will calm us mortals here on this rocking boat. Isn't it? Now, right now, everybody in here has got a pretty measure of peace. Don't you? Huh? You believe, Nancy? You believe? Roberta? Go back tomorrow morning. Now you know why He said this again. This is exactly what they went through before. They just went through this, Stephen. They just went through this. Remember? We're drowning. Lord, don't you care if we perish? He got up and said, hush up, ocean. We'll never doubt. Peter, I bet you Peter said, I'll never doubt Him now. Don't you know? I'll never doubt. Oh, I believe. They got on the ocean, on the land, and He's a Lord. I know He is. There's nothing going to bother me from here on out. Yeah. Right. There's only one thing that'll calm us. His Word. Now, do you need a better reason to come here? Do you need another reason to come here? At least for an hour. All your troubles are over. Huh? And your faith is strengthened. Be of good cheer. It is I. In verse 51, it says, He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Boy, when the Lord's with you, if the Lord will come near to you through His Word, through the preaching, through the fellowship of the saints, speak peace to your heart, all the wind will cease. And you'll see it's not contrary to me at all. Everything's for me. The Lord be for me. And they were sore amazed in themselves. You see that? They were sore amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and wondered. Now, there's several ways you can look at that. They were amazed at Him, firstly. They were sore amazed. That means, in our modern language, they just absolutely were just completely bum-fuzzled about Him. I can't. Astonished. Remember that? They were astonished. Amazed in themselves beyond measure at Him. Wondered at Him. He's the wonder of wonders, all right. Forget all these wonders of the world. He's the wonder of wonders. His name is called of wonder. And they were also amazed in themselves. They were amazed at their own lack of faith.
after all that they'd been through, after all the Lord had brought them through. Let me pick on you again, Henry. 70-some years old. You've been there and done that. Hadn't you? If anybody here ought to have faith. But we'll be just like you, buddy. When we hit 70, we'll be forgetful too. But we ought to have faith, shouldn't we? After all the Lord brings us here miraculously, after all His wonderful provisions and sovereign providence, all our days, 30, 40, 50 years, my, we ought to just not be afraid of anything. But He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. And so we come back again to teach us the same lessons over and over again. And it says in verse 52, they considered not the miracles of the loaves. Well, it's just 8 hours ago. 9 hours ago. Their heart was hardened. What hardened it? That means their heart, they forgot what happened. They forgot what happened. Their understanding was, it left them. Their minds were blank. Their hearts were full of fear. What was it? The world. The troubles they got into. And so it is with us. Thank God He has compassion on the ignorant, huh? The simple. Let's read these verses so we don't have to deal with them Sunday morning, all right? Verses 53 and following. So when they passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. They got to the shore, didn't they? All of them? No, we lost Bartholomew. His faith wasn't strong enough. He wasn't hanging on enough. But 11 out of 12 ain't bad. The Lord wouldn't have been much of a captain, would he? A Savior. They all got there. All 12. They got to shore. And so shall you. So shall you. All that Christ comes to and that come to Christ, they'll make it to the shore. Yes, you were. Will. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him, the people did. They all ran, oh, when we get to glory. That'll be something. We'll know each other and we'll know Him. And ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard He was. Right back into the midst of it they got, didn't they? Right, Ron? They were in the midst of thousands of people and the Lord said, get in the ship. And, you know, the wind wasn't contrary at first, Brother Sam. It was, oh, man. Glad to be here. Oh, man. And then it starts trouble. Rowing. Trouble. And the Lord gets them out of that. Get to shore. Okay. Right back in the midst. People. Crowding around. Tomorrow is what? Thursday morning. Prepare to get back in the thick of it. And it says, whithersoever He entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and sought Him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of His garment. Anybody hears of this garment provided of righteousness? Anybody that touches, anybody that comes, anybody that asks, is made perfectly whole and righteous. Anybody. All right. Let's sing that hymn again now. Let's try it again. I think we might be able to really sing it. From every stormy wind. Let's sing it in the green book. It's a lower tune. In the green book. Hymn number, what is it, John? The green book. It's 355. A little lower hymn, a tune. I like the words in that blue book, though. All right, let's stand.
From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woe, there is a calm, a sure retreat.
is found beneath the mercy seat.
Verse 3.
There is a scene where spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend, no sundered far by faith. Around one common mercy seat. Ah, whither could we flee for aid when tempted, desolate, dismayed, or how the host of heaven defeat? Bring saints no mercy see. Ah, there on eagle wings we soar, and sin and sins molest no more, and heaven comes down our souls to grieve, while glory crowns our mercy.